Good evening, everyone. The microphones are on and the cameras are rolling, so whatever you say or do will be kept in, what's the word, posterity?
Posterior.
But depending on what you say, it could be posterior. Right, Mr. Piper? Okay. Good evening and welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
William Barkley.
Present.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Paul Dakota.
Here.
Jody Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Don Singer.
Here.
Don Rosenberg.
Here.
We begin tonight's City Council meeting like we do all City Council meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance, and these fine, dapper gentlemen in front of me are going to lead us in the pledge. They are Antonio, Robbie, Ethan, and Alec. Gentlemen, we'll follow your lead. Well done, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin tonight's council meeting with a moment of silence to honor a longtime Geneva resident who passed away yesterday. Mr. Brown advised me of this. I had not heard the news, but certainly was saddened upon hearing it. All of you know Jim and Florence Riley of Riley Drugstores. Florence passed away yesterday. We will, of course, lower the city flag in her honor. Jim Riley served for many years in the Plan Commission and City Council. Chuck Brown succeeded Mr. Riley on the City Council. So the Riley name is synonymous with public service in Geneva, so we certainly mourn the loss of Florence, and we want Jim and his family to know that we're thinking about them, and we send to them our thoughts and our prayers. So if you could all join me in bowing your head, not only for Florence, but also our dear friend Mr. Stephen Lord, the reporter for the Beacon News, lost his father over the weekend. So we mourn both of those losses, and of course, let their families know that we're thinking about them. Thank you very much. Now, these four guys are not candidates for elected office. They're actually here to make a presentation which has been made before, and they are going to be heading downstate to compete for the championship. And you met them when they said the Pledge of Allegiance. From my right is Alec. This dude here is Ethan Finson. You might recognize that last name. This is Roddy. And that's Antonio. And these guys are, what, high schoolers? No. I got a bad briefing paper, man.
Wannabes.
Oh, I see.
Would-be
senator. Would-be senator, exactly. Turn your white envelopes in. You never know what will happen. And I'm going to introduce a gentleman named Peter Guido, who's going to be providing us some information regarding what these gentlemen are going to be sharing with all of us and the television audience, which usually numbers in the millions.
Don't worry about it.
So, folks, this is Mr. Peter Guido, famous from the Guido Finson Law Firm. He's here pro bono to explain what's happening tonight.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, this is the first LEGO League team, and the name of the team is the Secret Agent Robot Man. They chose that. They came up with that themselves. Real quickly, first LEGO League is a global program that was created to get kids excited about science and technology. It's geared towards kids 9 to 14 years old. These four gentlemen are 10 years old. The first LEGO League is a theme-based challenge that engages kids in research, problem solving, and engineering. The program itself emphasizes contributions of others, good sportsmanship, learning, and community involvement. On December 20th, these guys competed in a regional competition representing Geneva and St. Charles, and it was a regional event that took place in the Algonquin area. The boys were judged primarily on two programs of the LEGO League. The first is they develop and create a robot. They build a robot out of Legos, and the robot has a small programmable computer that they use to program on their own pre-designed challenges to get points for. The second part of LEGO League involves a presentation, which you're going to see, and it's where the individuals, where the boys analyze, research, and invent solutions for a given assignment. This year's topic was climate control. As part of the presentation, the boys had to create, which you're about to see on their own, and which will show you what they did with regard to research and show you what solution they came up with. These four guys were one of three teams that were selected to go to state, and that takes place in a weekend or so on January 16th and 17th in Arlington Heights. In order to prepare for the meet, the team is supposed to share their research and findings with as many groups as possible. So they're very excited about the opportunity tonight to share their presentation with the City Council. So thank you, and here they are.
And gentlemen, do you want a microphone, or do you want to use the microphone, or are you guys comfortable without it? Are you okay? Just so you know, your voices are strong enough, we're in the room, but it's going to be challenging to pick it up on the camera. So I'll defer to you, whatever you'd like. Want to use the mic?
Yeah.
Okay, let's figure this thing out. You guys are smart. How do you turn this thing on? Check, check, check. There you go. Ethan? Alec? Okay, guys, good luck. This is like American Idol. They're gone.
Hello, Secret Agent Robot Men at your service.
Yes, the Fox River? Absolutely. We'll get down there right away.
Let's go, guys. The Fox River in Illinois has flooded again. Our mission is to determine what's causing it.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're on our first mission!
Come on, let's go!
Look, Agent Dobby, Agent Creator Crossing and I have been with the business for a long time, and we've discovered that the flooding has become more frequent along our stretch of the Fox River.
Why has it been flooding more frequently?
Well, according to our past research, we believe there are several reasons this keeps occurring. Over the past 100 years, the population of St. Charles area has increased from 2,500 to 33,000.
All of these additional people have brought more houses and businesses to the area, covering up many areas that used to absorb rainwater, so now there's nowhere to go but drain into the river.
So that's the only reason?
No. While the population of St. Charles area has grown, the population of the whole world has increased by 5 billion in the last 100 years.
Wow, that's a lot of people!
With this large increase in population, many more people need food, housing, clean water, transportation, electricity, and technology. Using so much of the Earth's resources has resulted in global climate change.
What?
You haven't heard about the greenhouse effect?
Wait, greenhouses? Aren't they those things that grow plants?
Here, let us show you. We need some help here.
Professor Flame.
Hello, Professor Flame. This is Agent Crater Crosser here, and we need some help. I'm here with Agent Ace and our rookie, Agent Dobby. Can you explain in detail the greenhouse effect to us so you can help our rookie understand climate change?
Oh my gosh, that's for my latest research project. I will show you my diagram. First, the sun radiates energy that goes through the clear atmosphere. Then, some solar radiation is reflected back off that atmosphere and off Earth's surface. Some bounces off Earth's surface and hits the greenhouse gases, which make it bounce back. Some escapes, though, and is lost in space. Most just keeps bouncing and keeps warming the planet up. Some greenhouse gases are carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, and water vapor.
Thank you, Professor Flame. We'll call you back later.
before we die.
The Earth used to be in balance. The right amount of carbon dioxide. But with the addition of so many people needing so many of the Earth's resources, the Earth is now out of balance.
What do you mean out of balance?
Here, let us show you. Here is how the Earth used to be, balanced. However, in the last 100 years or so, with so many more people and with the introduction of electricity, technology, cars, and so on, the Earth is now out of balance. People need electricity produced by coal plants to run things like computers, lights, and refrigerators.
Fuel to run cars, trucks, and heat their homes.
People need to cut down trees to build more houses and buildings. All of those things result in too many greenhouse gases, which is making the Earth heat up.
Over the last century, the Earth's atmosphere has warmed a little more than 1 degree in Fahrenheit. In fact, the 10 hottest years on record have all occurred since 1990.
Unless we cut emissions, scientists estimate the U.S. temperatures could be 3 to 9 degrees hotter by the end of the century.
A little more than 1 degree? Come on! How can that hurt anything? We could use some warmer temperatures here in the Midwest. I hate shoveling snow.
Think, Agent Dobby!
The small increase in temperatures have already caused some pretty amazing climate change. But not just in the United States. Just like our Fox River flooding, people in the Netherlands are dealing with flooding on the Maas River. Their solution is by building houses that float. Their basements act like rafts, and their houses can rise up to 18 feet without moving.
There have been more extreme heat waves, floods, stronger hurricanes, and the polar ice cap is shrinking.
Wow, this is serious. We need to talk to Europe and Asia and tell them to stop spewing out all that carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
Well, we do need a worldwide effect, but sorry to say, the United States, which is 4% of the world's population, produces 25% of the carbon dioxide burning fossil fuels. We put out more carbon dioxide than China, India, and Japan combined.
The changes each of us can make to slow climate change. Choose more fuel-efficient cars, turn off the water when you're brushing your teeth, replace radio light bulbs with CFLs, turn down our heat and wear a sweater. Use less, recycle more.
I think the answer to our problem is within our reach. If we all work together, we can come up with a solution.
Wow,
Professor Flame, can you believe Agent Dobby was able to create a car that runs on carbon dioxide?
No way.
Yes, it sucks in the carbon dioxide in front of the car into a tube. The tube carries the carbon dioxide into a converter box. The converter box changes it into fuel, and the only emission from the car is water vapor. We've also made it affordable so everyone can help save the environment.
Hello?
Secret Agent Robert. Guys, we got another call. Let's go.
Well done, gentlemen. You know, I learned two things from your presentation. Number one, it all began with St. Charles. And if you stick around and listen to the debate tonight, you talk about carbon dioxide. So I'm just right here in the room. It's unbelievable. We are the principal reason for this greenhouse effect. Anybody from the council and or community have questions for these gentlemen? Alderman Dakota.
Yes. Where do you meet and when do you meet? If somebody was interested in joining you, not me, but I could learn from you. But I have a grandson that is involved in Legos all the time, and he's at the right age, so I'd like to find out.
Well, you create a team, and you can meet whenever you want. But there's a deadline, so you have to have your Lego League thing done by a certain date when the competition is. So we meet at one of our houses a few times every week. So
on Saturday.
Nope.
So can somebody join you if they're interested? Just just to participate, not necessarily be in a contest, because you have established that already.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, you are the first people never to be questioned again by Alderman Nakoto. Well done. That's good. Anyone else from the council? You guys know you're among a physicist here from Fermilab. Right. You guys know Dr. Charles Brown, the first Lord Alderman, is a physicist at Fermi National Accelerator, a.k.a. smart dude.
I think they did a better job on explaining science than I can, so good luck, kids. I think you're going to win state.
That was awesome.
Anyone in the audience, any questions for these fine gentlemen? And when you do win state, you'll come back here and let us know, share the accolades and or prize money with the citizens. It's a tough budget here, man. Gentlemen, thank you. Mr. Guido, thank you very much.
Great show.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Scott, weren't you on stage crew in high school, too?
I'm sorry?
Weren't you part of the stage crew in high school?
I was.
That's what I thought.
You're welcome.
Does she look good?
I
love
the holiday season. We've only been to one party out of all of them. That was just.
How long you went to?
Yeah.
As Mr. Collins prepares the podium for our next presentation, we have the high honor of welcoming our representatives from the Geneva History Center for a brief presentation on Americans Who Tell the Truth exhibit, which opens on January 16th at the Geneva History Center, located on beautiful and bucolic 3rd Street. This is a familiar face before us. Margaret Selakovich is with us tonight. Margaret, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you so much. Americans Who Tell the Truth is a traveling exhibit that the Geneva History Center is going to host in January and February of this year. It opens on January 16th and runs through February 22nd. And what I'd like to do this evening is briefly give you some information about the exhibit. Americans Who Tell the Truth is a nonpartisan series of portraits by artist Robert Shetterly. His portraits of past and current Americans form a traveling exhibit that has been hosted in schools, universities, churches, and various community groups around the country. It is truly a remarkable collection of portraits, and Mr. Shetterly intends to remind people of the dignity, courage, and importance of some of America's truth tellers. And whether or not you agree with a particular subject's point of view, his exhibit is intended to create dialogue that will help each of us figure out which truths we value most as citizens in a democracy. The beauty of this exhibit is that it never goes away. And although we only had the exhibit for a brief 5.5 weeks, there is a book that goes with the exhibit, and there is a website. So if you're interested in purchasing the book, or if you want more information about the exhibit, you can certainly go on that website. I want to give you just a little bit of brief information about how we selected the portraits. Robert Shetterly, the artist, has done over 100 portraits of some of America's truth tellers, and I'm going to go through and show you some of the portraits that we selected. We could only select 26 out of the 114 or 119 portraits that he now has. And we had a committee. The committee was composed of myself, Dave Oberg, who is our executive director at the History Center, Mary Bencini, who is a retired school teacher, and Kent Gallagher, who is a member of the Cultural Arts Commission. And I have to say that when we started to make a decision if we were going to bring forward this exhibit, one of the first organizations that I went to was the Cultural Arts Commission, and because we needed funding. And I have to say that they came right in with us and have helped donate with the cost, so we were very pleased with that. Each portrait that you'll see in just a minute, for each portrait you will see the portrait of the, you'll see the person along with a quote, and then there will be a short biography. What I gave you through your board packet, I want to say board packet, but I'm sorry, saying school board packet, but through your board packet, is a flyer. And the flyer that you received, up at the top it says Americans Who Tell the Truth. All the information is really here about the exhibit, a short summary of what the exhibit is about, the exhibit hours that we're going to have. We're going to be open on the evenings on Tuesday and Thursday nights for special hours to bring, hopefully, people from other communities to Geneva, and also some information about the book. And I did happen to bring the book this evening with all my papers falling out of it, but it is a beautiful book. You can purchase the book at the Geneva History Center. There are note cards that also go along with this book, but you'll find that the portraits are truly truly beautiful. What you'll also see on the flyer is all of the programs that are associated with this exhibit, and we really have a very much an action-packed a lot of things going on during the exhibit, and that includes the artists coming for 3 days. Mr. Shetterly will be in town January 20th through 24th. On Wednesday night, he'll be at the Geneva Public Library for a book signing. On Thursday night, he will be at the Geneva High School Auditorium. It will be open to the public, and he is the speaker that evening to talk about his selection of the portraits. And for those of you that are interested in meeting Mr. Shetterly, we will have a reception on Friday night at the Geneva History Center. I think what's very exciting for me as the educator at the History Center is that Mr. Shetterly is going to be in the schools, and he will have great discussion, open dialogue in regard to talking to students about citizenship and about being an American. So he's going to be at the elementary level, where he will be making touching base with the character counts programs, citizenship, fairness, responsibility. He'll be at the middle school level one day after school, and then he'll be at the high school that Thursday, which is January 22nd, all day. He'll be meeting with social studies students, art students, along with some English students. So what I'm going to do tonight is give you a little bit of information about the portraits that we selected. However, I'm not going to give you too much information because I want you to come to the museum and see the exhibit. Okay, let me find this here. Okay. Can I go back on this? Do I just right like that? Okay. When we made the selection of portraits, we wanted to make sure that we met our mission statement. So some of the portraits that we selected, actually five of them, had either a Geneva history or a local connection. The first portrait that you're going to see is a portrait of Margaret Chase Smith. And Margaret Chase Smith actually visited Geneva in 1964. She attended a reception at the Unitarian Church. She was the first woman to serve in both houses of Congress, first woman selected to the Senate, and the first woman to be a candidate for nomination of president. Jane Addams, we all know that local connection to Chicago and Hull House. Frederick Douglass, who was an abolitionist who visited nearby Aurora. Abraham Lincoln and Studs Terkel. Native Americans. I do a Native American program for elementary students. It's at the third grade level, and I give them, they learn, it's kind of, it is connected to their Native American unit, so I'm always working to bring that local connection to what they're studying. So my program deals with Chief Waubonsie and the fact that the Potawatomi were the last Native Americans that lived in the Fox Valley area before they were so kindly escorted west of the Mississippi. So for our selection for the exhibit, we chose Chief Joseph because his story parallels that of Chief Waubonsie. Black history, we have a number of portraits, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr., Muhammad Ali, and Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman, you'll notice on the flyer that we are going to have a first-person portrayal on January 19th. A woman by the name of Pamela Welcome does an excellent job of portraying Harriet Tubman, and excellent speaker, so if you're interested in that, please join us on January 19th. Human rights advocate, we selected Cesar Chavez, and unfortunately I misspelled out his first name, so I apologize for that. Mr. Chavez was an advocate for migrant farm workers. And as you see with each portrait, you can see that they're all a little bit different in regard to the background colors that they use. The quotes are actually drawn on there. And you'll notice, too, that in some portraits, there's the use of hands. Some of the portraits, you'll notice that the individuals look straight ahead, and some of them are in profile. They're very interesting when you look at them as a collection. Conservation, John Murr, and actually a woman that I've been very impressed to learn more about and become more knowledgeable about is Rachel Carson. She is widely revered as the founder of the environmental movement in America. Her book, Silent Spring, for some of you that may or may not be familiar with, was published in 1962 and was the first serious warning to the United States and the world that pesticides and pollutants were causing terrible harm to the environment. This woman was a very strong, very responsible woman who stood very much for what she believed in, and she really took a lot of grief from the government and from big-time companies that were getting ready to shoot her down for some of the research. She was a biologist for some of the work that she did. Public citizens. We all may not like or be, you know, fond of Ralph Nader, but we chose this particular, we chose him also because we liked his quote. And I think for our young students today, a lot of the quotes are meant to be thought-provoking. There can be no daily democracy without daily citizenship. It's really a question that we need to ask our youth in regard to what do they view and how do they value their citizenship. Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, two women who worked for the right to vote, women's suffrage. Mary Harris Mother Jones was a great labor organizer in support of the mine workers and worked against child labor during the late 19th century and early 20th century. Writers, we included Arthur Miller, Mark Twain. I always like to give you a moment to take a look at Mark Twain's quote. It could probably be shown by facts and figures that there is no distinctly Native American criminal class except Congress. Now, I would find that this exhibit really brings us close to really what's going on in our country today. So maybe a little bit at the state level. So hopefully it will inspire some thought there. Henry David Thoreau. Political figures and government officials. We selected Dwight Eisenhower. And this particular portrait really spoke to me probably a little bit emotionally because we think of Dwight Eisenhower as twofold, as our president and as a general. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its labors, and he goes on. Robert F. Kennedy, folk singer and writer. Can I ask you a question? What song do you remember that he wrote? Oh, sorry, Woody Guthrie. I'm sorry, I got to go to the next slide.
Alice Kitchen.
This land was made for you. This land is your land. And he actually wrote that song in response to God Bless America, and that's a whole other story that you'll have to come to the History Center and learn more about. But this quote that you see right here is actually the seventh verse of that song. When he died, he was very concerned by the fact that people would only remember the first several verses of this particular song, and he asked his son Arlo to make sure that people remembered that. Woody Guthrie, his real name was Woodrow Wilson Guthrie. Children and About Children, Marion Wright Edelman. This is a very pointed quote here, and not meant to be to the public at large, but really for all of us to remind us that we are here to be good role models for our children. And if you take a close look at her portrait, you'll see that her hands, not all of his portraits include their hands, but it almost seems like she is in hope or is in prayer. But Marion Wright Edelman has been advocating for health, safety, and education needs of the children of the United States for over 30 years. Eleanor Roosevelt, excuse me. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. I've raised four girls, and I kind of felt like this should be the poster child at the middle school, and actually not only for girls but young men as alike, but it's a strong statement, and it comes from a very important woman from our past who really had a very rough childhood, and no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And so I think it's an interesting quote, and again, to ask our children, what do they think that means? Samantha Smith, I don't know how many of you are familiar with her story, but Samantha Smith in the early 1980s, when the Cold War was going on, wrote a letter to Yuri Andropov, who was the Soviet premier at that time. And she was very concerned about the United States going to war with the Soviet Union. And he wrote her back, and he invited her to the United States. He invited her to the Soviet Union, and she had a very successful trip. And she came back and became an international peace activist, a spokesperson, and traveled around the country. Actually, she did go back to China, or I think it was Japan. She did go back to Japan. You know, I think her quote, and I think just the idea of having her in the exhibit, is to tell our children that it doesn't matter what age you are, that you can truly make a difference. And that is Samantha Smith. Others to consider, I included two others, and these are not portraits that are going to be at the exhibit, but I included them because I think that, as I mentioned earlier, it's important for people to know that there is the book and there is the website, and that this is a way to learn more about some of our truth tellers. The eyes of the future are looking back at us, and they are praying for us to see beyond our own time. Terry Tempest Williams is an environmentalist and a writer, and she lives in Utah. Dorothea Lange, this is another one of my most very favorite portraits in the exhibit, and you can actually take the quote, this is what we did, how did it happen, how could we. You can actually take that quote and apply it to many times throughout history. But Dorothea Lange was actually, her quote, she's writing about the Japanese internment camps during World War II. She is well known, or was well known, as a photographer. She actually is well known for the pictures that she took of the refugees during the Dust Bowl. So with that, I've probably talked over my time. This is the website of Americans Who Tell the Truth. We're very excited to have it. We invite you to come to the museum and come for the reception, come for the book signing, and most important of all, if you're interested in this, certainly come for his presentation that Thursday night at the high school. And thank you for letting me take up your time and your busy schedule.
Thank you, Margaret. Are any questions or comments for Mrs. Selakovich? Besides the CFL bulbs that are acting up? Alderman Flanagan, then Alderman Dakota.
Thank you very much. I thought it was, you did a great job.
Thank you.
And I did see a snippet of it at the History Center before, but this was very good.
Thank you.
I do have a question. On Friday, is there a cost involved in that? Because there is no price
for the reception.
Yeah.
No, that's, no, there's no cost. That's open to membership and VIPs.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you need them. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Alderman Dakota?
Mr. Shelley, do you happen to know his agenda on that Friday that he'll be in town in the morning?
Yes, he will be speaking to the Geneva Learners.
That's why I was asking you, because I thought he'd be a great individual to speak to our group.
Yes, he will be.
Great.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
Just to point out, Margaret, that Rick Coney will be speaking about his dear friend Sester, who recently passed away. I think that'll be a dynamite talk.
Yes, Rick Hogan is excellent, and he'll tell you the story that when he was born, his father went out for a drink that evening with Studs, and so he's literally known him all his life. And so it's there's some great stories there that he'll tell with fondness that he'll say that. And actually, Studs did write a story, and I'd have to ask Sue Sue, what book is it in? He wrote a story actually on Duke and Lee's.
In Hard Times,
in the book Hard Times. So we're excited to have Rick Kogan come. So for any of these programs that you're interested in, come early and get a good seat because we are limited in seating at the History Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Item 4, ladies and gentlemen, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments being offered tonight by any members of the City Council?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to remove item 11B from the agenda. Possible. The ordinance in our packet differs somewhat from the agreement or the discussions we had in the Committee of the Whole, so I'd like to take it back to the committee for further discussion.
Second.
So the motion by Alderman Maladra is to remand this matter back to
Committee of the Whole,
which would be next week,
January
12th, which would require some staff evaluation to make certain that the language is consistent with what was originally discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And that second is offered by Mr. Piper.
No.
Mr. Pollack, excuse me. Good God.
Mr.
I think I've offended both of you. I apologize.
You're looking in the mirror, I'll tell you.
Any questions or comments, discussion, debate regarding this matter? Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, it would be of interest to me if the proposer of this motion would summarize what the differences are. I missed them myself.
Section 2, where we propose parking shall be permitted from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. That was not part of what we discussed at the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Please do. Microphone, if you could, that'd be awesome.
Thank you. Just wanted, for clarification purposes, during much back and forth discussion amongst staff members, if it's discovered that there were no hours discussed, I'm wondering if that's not the case, and maybe this was a recommendation of staff, then you're looking for us to look in the minutes and report as such, basically, to say that there were no hours or no consensus?
I think hours weren't discussed at all.
Okay.
Hours are being proposed as part of the ordinance. I think we should discuss that.
Okay. But just for clarification, did you want staff to go back and just confirm that in the minutes then?
Should.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
a nod, some sort of hint would be good.
Anyone else? Comments or questions regarding the motion? Mr. Devine.
Who's staff, if I may ask?
Staff would consist of our city administrator, Mrs. McKittrick, our assistant city administrator, Ms. Dawkins, our Mr. Bob Smith, who I trust you know well.
Oh, very well.
Certainly our friends in the police department, city attorney, Mr. Radovich.
Don't have the pleasure, but look forward to it.
He's a good man. Yeah. He's kept us all out of prison for quite a long time.
And Alderman Maladra.
Yeah, of course. So.
Exactly. I think that a large chunk of this wording is from stuff that I had said, so I think that didn't have the benefit of further discussion.
Alderman Dakota?
Because some of us who are ignorant about this whole thing be informed that is there a problem with what's being proposed and what is the counterproposal? Is there a problem with what's being proposed, 6 to 10 or whatever it was?
I don't think the question is as much the substance of what's being proposed in the ordinance as the fact that what's being proposed in the ordinance is not what was discussed at the last Committee of the Whole meeting. And so it
but
should
But does
be.
Any have anyone have a problem with what's being proposed in the ordinance?
Don't know.
Well, we've received some commentary from citizens who have been participating in the debate for a long period of time. One of those citizens, Mr. Devine, is present tonight, and I know he's...
Well, it would be good for us to know what is the problem, if there is a problem. If nothing is broken, why should we try and fix it? The clock is ticking. You know, let it tick, I guess, until it breaks. Then we send it to jewelers if we fix it. But if it's not broken, what is the problem? That's all I'm asking. Is there a problem? You're saying yes, but you won't tell us what the problem is.
I think there's people who think there should be no hourly restrictions whatsoever. And then there's other people who feel that there should be hourly restrictions.
Well, sure, the people living want restrictions, and the people that don't live don't want any restrictions. Okay.
Exactly.
I understand that. But are these hours that are being proposed reasonable? I guess you're the culprit.
No, but the question here is not whether or not the hours are reasonable. The question here is, should that have come before the Committee of the Whole before it came to the City Council?
Yeah, I think the issue really is a matter of process.
It's process, exactly.
While we may very well, as legislators, feel comfortable with the process, when a constituent or a group of constituents say, wait a minute, that's not exactly how I remembered it, I think it's incumbent upon us to say, we'll take a step back, we'll review it again. Now, in theory of clocks ticking, I would suggest and recommend and support that next week at the Committee of the Whole meeting, when we discuss this, we also host a special council meeting. And of course, in the spirit of budget relief, we'll all waive our fees, but should this be recommended, then we'll move forward, vote on it that night, and whatever is determined will take effect immediately. So I would always err on the side of taking a deep breath as opposed to moving something forward, because we've been in that boat before where people say, wait a minute.
Right.
And then we're always, you know, remanding things, or we're making motions to, you know, it's a disaster. So that's my opinion. And it's usually the right one. So Alderman Piper, Pollack, and then Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I take it that no one is interested in simply amending what's in front of us tonight. I mean, I understand that we can go back, but the fact remains, I agree. I don't believe any of this was discussed. I don't remember anything regarding time at all. If that's the hang-up, maybe we just remove it tonight and move on. If anybody would be for that, I could make an amendment to that, unless everybody feels like we should go back and take a breath and do this again. I understand that it's a process issue.
I think it allows certainly the staff who are referenced and others to, you know, peek under the rug and see exactly what was discussed, so that we have a clearer picture when it's brought forward on the 12th. I think it's a safer approach.
Fine.
So that we're not legislating on the fly.
Right.
Okay. But Mr. Pollack, then Mr. Hill.
My question was answered.
Mr. Hill.
Do we have a motion on the floor now, Mr. Mayor?
We do have a motion to remove this matter from the agenda and remand it back for review by city staff to consider again at the January 12th Committee of the Whole meeting. That was seconded by Mr. Pollack.
And then do we need another motion to have a city council meeting to
decide? No, we'll determine that probably Saturday morning. No, I'm just kidding. We'll determine that later this week.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
We'll call.
Yeah. Anyone else? Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alderman Barkley was kind enough to bring up the minutes of the meeting, and I'm quoted in the minutes as saying that there should be no time limit. It's clearly in the minutes before the vote was taken, so it is not correct that the issue was not discussed. It was discussed, and it is was discussed in a sense which is contrary to the motion we see in front of us. So I agree with the motion on the floor that it should be sent back to staff to relook at the minutes of the discussion and to rethink the question.
Fair enough. Anyone else? We have a motion by Maladra, a second by Mr. Pollack. Anyone else in the audience wishing to comment on this issue? Mr. Devine? Or?
I think it's been covered. I must admit, though, that I'm completely disappointed in the way this was handled, especially in regards to the fact that this matter did come up in August. It was discussed ad nauseum at that time, by myself included, and my wife, and many other folks. And in a timely manner, I don't see this as being a timely manner. That we're now bringing it up again, and as it's been pointed out, possibly changing from a no time limit to a time limit. So, in the matter of moving forward quickly, not that I object to taking this back to the Committee of the Whole.
Sure.
I certainly would like to see the original Committee of the Whole ordinance that was passed that night, 9-1, be voted on at this evening in a timely manner to see if that stands. Because I thought we had an agreement back then, meaning all parties, the city council, myself, unfortunately, the residents of that area, I don't think we're completely in agreement, but they didn't get the whole pie, if you will, or the whole cake. They got a portion of it. In other words, I didn't get everything I wanted. We only get three parking spaces there. Now, for some reason, you know, we want to change things again. And I don't like the way business is being done.
It's a fair statement. There's certainly no business being done behind closed doors. I would state for the record that it's a Scribner's error, based primarily on communique between staff and the alderman of that ward. I am privy to all the correspondence between all those parties, and sometimes things just get mixed up, pure and simple. So we're taking the appropriate step tonight to say, whoopsie daisy. And when Mr. Devine and others bring it to our attention, again, I feel it's incumbent upon us to say, you know what, you're right. Let's take a step back and figure this thing out before we vote on something that later is, oh, God, what did we do?
I applaud you for that, but I don't think this would have taken place had I not started making calls, had I not looked at the website, saw what was there, read what was being proposed tonight, and said, no, that's not what we voted on, not what you folks voted on.
Right.
And what I would like to say, I think the majority of people agreed to, I went back and looked at the August 25th Committee of the Whole minutes. There's no place in there that it talks about, you know, putting a time limit on. In fact, as Alderman Brown pointed out, you know, there was no time limit. But I don't think, Your Honor, and if I'm misspeaking here, had I not made some phone calls, I don't think this would have been discussed tonight. I think this would have been put before you folks to vote on. Now, how it would have went down, I don't know.
Sure.
But I don't think that's the way we want to run city government.
It is not the way. And your statements, Mr. Devine, with all due respect, give credence to the phrase that we are not the smartest people in the community. Let me finish. Oftentimes, the best ideas, the best recommendations come from the citizens. You know, we're up here trying to do the darn best we can, but oftentimes we fall short of that. Folks like yourself and others correct us, and we are glad to be corrected. But we are not infallible human beings by any means. So I applaud you for bringing that to our attention. I know Mr. Maladra applauds you as well, because it is a little bit embarrassing when we sit up here and think, oh, God, maybe we did screw up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's great, though. Believe me. I
appreciate that.
Yeah, so.
You're well aware, and I think most of the people on the council and the support staff are
sure.
well aware that I have been at just about every meeting since then.
Oh, absolutely.
That meeting, waiting for a vote on that. And it has not been timely.
No, it has not. We tend to move at glacial speed, and I will acknowledge that. But sometimes the simplest issues are often the most difficult to address, because, as you well know, it's not just about Mr. Devine's interests or those residents on 8th Street. It's about everyone else who says, well, hey, this seems reasonable. How about my street?
Yeah.
And then we have this cascading effect where a lot of us probably feel, oh, my God, this could cause a tsunami of change. Do we want to go down that path?
And this is not just a Mr. Devine issue.
No, I know it's not.
This is a citizen's issue.
But whether you like it or not, Your face is on the issue, and it's a
right.
hell of a handsome face.
Well,
but that's the way that the game is played. So, again, I applaud you for bringing it to our attention. Oh. Alderman Dakota. Piper.
Two items. I think you're going too far talking about his face, but anyway, that's another subject. But I think there are constituents that live in the area, and they have been noticeably absent from these discussions. And they should be aware of what's going on. And could we extend an invitation that it's going to be discussed at a certain time? Now, they should know if they're watching TV,
sure.
But I'm sure that's not uppermost in their mind, really. But I think the citizens who live in the area should have a voice, and then we'll be able to decide.
And there's only if there is a
problem.
But I can certainly direct Mr. Smith to pass that information to the doors so that we have a full house. We would love to have a full chamber.
No, let's not start that again.
You know,
oh, my
you know,
God.
I'd like to say something here. I may be out of order here, but I'd like to say Mr. Smith has been, now, I may be misspeaking here, but I'm sure that Mr. Smith has probably talked to the residents there. But, you know, Mr. Smith did not give me the courtesy of a call saying, by the way, Mr. Devine, I know you're closely invested in this issue. You know, are you aware that there's going to be a vote? No, I didn't get that courtesy either.
No, and without misspeaking as well, that courtesy should be conveyed to you from your elected officials, first and foremost. I didn't grant the courtesy either, and I apologize for that as well.
No, I didn't.
So
that's why I want to know who on staff is doing
sure,
what.
Sure.
You know, because this wasn't in the spirit of the Committee of the Whole meeting of August 25th.
I
don't want anybody to tell me that this was in the spirit of that vote.
It was not.
August 25th, the committee of the whole meeting, of 9-1.
Well, tonight's not a matter of defiance. It's a matter of accepting responsibility. I accept responsibility as chair of the committee of the whole and as mayor of the community that perhaps we've made an error. And we're going to correct that error as best we can based on the leadership of Mr. Malaja and your other elected official, Mr. Dakota, and those who have participated in the debate from the get-go. So there's one thing certain in this world, that we're going to see more of Mr. Devine at the council meetings. That's a good thing.
Well, that's for sure.
And keep our feet to the fire. That's what you're here for, and that's what we're glad you're here for. So it's good. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Piper, then Ms. McKittrick, then Ms. Vogelsberg to speak.
After hearing from Alderman Barkley and Brown, I think we're overthinking this. It's already been discussed. I don't think we need to bring everybody in here again. We did this. We talked about the time limits. We have beaten this to death for three parking spots. If we can just amend this and take the time limit off, we can move on to next more important issues. According to the minutes, Bill, you pulled them up, correct? Chuck checked them. It was his comment. There was no time limit. And, Mr. Devine's right. I've not seen anybody from that neighborhood since then. So, obviously, this has been a done deal, and we should just vote on it and get moving. I think we should just make the amendment, do it tonight, and be done with it. I don't think we need to go back. I mean, what's staff going to look at? The minutes Bill just pulled up and Chuck read? I mean, if that's what we need them to do, okay, but I just think it seems to me to be a little extra work for nothing.
Call the question.
I can't call the question yet because I've already acknowledged Ms. McKittrick and Ms. Vogelsberg, so forgive me, but Ms. McKittrick?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to speak to the issue of timeliness. The reason that the delay has been in bringing this back is because the council agreed to waiting until the majority, at least, of the construction was done in that area. And we've been monitoring that between our police department and our public works department to say, is the construction in that area at a place where everyone feels comfortable with moving this forward. So it wasn't a matter that it fell through the cracks or that staff was stalling or trying to sneak it in under the wire. We were purposely holding it back until construction got to a point where we thought it was safe. So I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware that we purposely did that.
And in response to that, and not being argumentative here, but that is part of what's on the website. And Mr. Commissioner Lencioni brought that up that evening, that, wait a minute, we don't want to go forward with these three parking spaces until construction was finished. So I'm not being argumentative with you, but I find what you just gave me a little hard to swallow. I'll put it that way, okay? Because I don't think anybody was planning on parking over there until construction was finished anyway. That wouldn't have prevented a vote being taken as Alderman Piper has just proposed back in September, October.
It may not have prevented a vote, but it certainly would have prevented the effective date of the ordinance. So we either have glacial speed in making a decision, or we have glacial speed in exacting
the ordinance. Well, the ordinance would have been passed or rejected,
sure,
one way or the other. And let's say it would have been passed, but the parking wouldn't have had its
exactly
place.
Right.
Because signs could have remained there. And
precisely, yeah.
So,
like the pay raise debate, and that's like 2011.
But the same end result.
Right. Exactly.
Same end result. So this is a very good debate. Ms. McKittrick, excuse me, Ms. Vogelsberg, then Mr. Malaja.
Thank you, Mayor. Actually, I was going to bring up the issue of the construction and why, but, I don't want to add any real fuel to the fire. But I did just want to say that as a reminder that that's why it was pushed back.
No, I agree. I was well aware of the construction over there, and I was well aware.
More than anybody.
Trust me, I may not know a lot of things, but I know about this issue. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let the record show that Mr. Devine does not know a lot of things. Mr. Malaja.
Okay, I just want to be clear that the confusion is the result of something that I said. I don't want to blame staff for this. I made a comment that said, as long as you're asking about hours, if the door is still open for further compromise, here's what I think we ought to do. I felt that if the door was still open for further compromise, that would have come before Committee of the Whole for discussion. Alderman Piper's recommendation or suggestion, if you guys want to vote on it tonight, make an amended motion, that's all right too. I was just concerned that the proper process be followed. When we spoke earlier, and you felt that maybe the vote wouldn't go your way, you felt going back to the Committee of the Whole was a good idea. Now it looks like the vote may go your way. You're okay with voting tonight. All I want to know is, what's the correct process?
I wasn't going to say a word. You mentioned to me that, hey, look, maybe we should have went back through the Committee of the Whole.
And you said, okay.
Up, and I wasn't going to say a word until the discussion started.
Right.
Okay.
That's good. So whatever the right process is, that's what I'm in favor of.
Mr. Piper. Again, this is on the motion on the floor, so, I mean, let's try to keep it quasi-germane. That's French, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to make an amendment that we, can I amend the motion?
Well, you can,
we can vote that motion up or down.
Or we can ask the motioner and the seconder to withdraw the motion.
That's
and
right.
That's up to, you know, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here, but my philosophy, and I'm not speaking just to Mr. Devine, but my philosophy has always been, let's err on the side of caution when enacting legislation. Because we tend to deal with the unintended consequences without quite fully realizing them. And I'm always one to say, let's take a step back and relax a little bit. But I serve with the pleasure of the council. So.
I'll second that. Was that a motion?
There's a motion on the floor from Mr. Malaja and seconded by Mr. Pollack. We have two options. Mr. Malaja can withdraw the motion based on the concurrence of the seconder, Mr. Pollack,
okay.
And or we can vote on the motion on the floor.
I withdraw the motion.
The seconder concurs? The motion is withdrawn?
Can I make the amendment to the motion then?
No. No, you cannot. You have to wait to the agenda item, which is agenda item 11. Oh, excuse
we're not
me.
There yet.
Yeah, we're not even there yet. Isn't this exciting?
Chuck, would you pay the damn bill so we can move on, please?
Where are those four kids?
Wow.
Yeah, they made it look so easy.
That was actually item four, amendments to the agenda.
Yeah.
So, and this just said Nixon resigned. Unbelievable. It's like item five, folks, is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk. Are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion.
Point of order.
Yeah, Mr. Singer?
Will we not have to withdraw 12B here so it doesn't become part of the omnibus agenda?
It was 11B.
That's the matter.
11.
Yeah, 11B. Okay. That's not on the omnibus. So.
All right.
Mr. Barclay makes the
second
motion, seconded by Flanagan. Process question, Mr. Hill?
No, I was going to second it, but she...
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Mr. Clerk, kindly and mercifully take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
William Barclay?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
What are we doing?
Marty Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Malaja?
Aye.
Rip Pollack?
Aye.
Rob Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes. I see the Daily Herald laughing in the background. Yes, I would. Wait till I watch this thing later tonight. Talk about creatures features.
Do we need to get you on the mic? Wouldn't you?
Motion to censure the Daily Herald for 2009. Folks, we jump down to item 10. Municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $294,949.68.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the bills and pay them as read.
Second.
Brown motions to approve the bills as read, seconded by Mr. Hill.
Smallest amount of bills we've had.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
William Barclay?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Marty Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Malaja?
Aye.
Rip Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Bless you.
Folks, item 11A is to consider ordinance number 2009-01, amending Title 7, Chapter 4, to allow for no parking on 6th Street East Side from its intersection with Ford Street to Stephen Street from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, excluding holidays and my birthday.
Move approval.
Motion by Hill.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Piper. I know we have some audience members who are interested in this issue, so if the council doesn't object, I can defer to them first. If anyone would like to comment and or speak to this matter, feel free to do so.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Name and Social Security number, please.
Can you come up? Dave Chatterday.
Dave, can you join us at the microphone?
Yeah.
I know we haven't had your face on TV in a while, and we want to prove there is life beyond 40, so it's good.
Thanks for the chance just to address this issue with you. I know...
Saturday?
Yeah. These parking issues are are not easy to deal with. Our concern with the issue that you're dealing with now is we live one block east exactly of where you're talking about. And we've already got students that are parking on our street. We have multifamily residences in that area who park on the street. And I think just like a balloon, you're going to squeeze one side and the other side is going to expand. And those folks that are parking there, I think you're dealing with a symptom without dealing with the issue. And we're, you know, you're just moving that issue down another block. So as part of your consideration, I would hope that you know, this is a bigger issue than 6th Street. That's the pressure point right now. But that maybe you think this through and try and solve the problem rather than dealing with the symptom outside of safety. Our concern is as well as safety, is the delivery of the services that you work so hard to deliver to your citizens. You know, to see where the street sweeper has gone around, and you can see the mark of exactly where they went around each car, to see where leaves are left, where cars have been parked on the street, when twice a year we have the opportunity to have those leaves in our mature wooded neighborhood picked up, to see where the snow plows have gone around the cars that have been parked there, and that snow is then left not for hours or days, often for weeks, is a consideration that I think impacts all of us. And if you folks had that situation in front of your house, I'm sure you'd be raising a concern as well. So that's what I want to put in front of you. I appreciate that you're addressing the issue. I'm just not convinced at this point that we're looking at the whole issue. So, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Scatterday. Anyone else in the audience? We'll take comments from the council. Mr. Brown, Mr. Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hesitate to address this subject once again. I joined the council while our distinguished mayor, I think, was still in school. And the first job I had was with the other alderman at that time, was to worry about high school parking, and that was almost a generation ago. This problem never goes away. Alderman Hill and I have worked on it continuously since he's been elected to the council. Our current thought is that the solution is to continue forcing the students to move further and further away, combined with trying to convince the school board that parking in the Burgess Field lot should be free. At the moment, the Burgess Field lot is not full each day. We've almost pushed the students far enough away that they will begin to realize that parking in the Burgess lot is actually closer. And our hope is that we can convince the school board that it makes no sense for them to be charging students the same to park in the Burgess lot as they do in the lot on McKinley, which is one-tenth of the distance. They don't seem to accept that logic, and their lot is half full, and those students are parking on the streets, not just your street, but other streets. The school board is losing, they're losing the goodwill of the community. I believe they're making enemies by having empty parking lots because of the process by which they charge students. We have made parking available on Gray Street over the years. That's used by the students. We've convinced the school board to actually build more parking. They have done that. But they don't seem to be able to come up with a system that allows them to fill up the Burgess lot. That is the parking that's currently available. If we could get those students off the street, they would easily be able to park there with spaces left over. We've done counts. Traffic engineer Mr. Bob Smith has done counts. Every other week he's out there doing counts. We're quite convinced there is a solution. Unfortunately, the solution is not 100% in our hands. So what we are doing with this current move is instigated both by us and by the fire chief, who noticed that there was a real problem one day on 6th Street. You literally couldn't get a fire truck through there. by putting no parking on one side, we're at least relieving the safety problem on 6th Street. Indeed, we're probably going to force some students to 5th Street. We know that's going to happen. As sure as God made little green apples, it's more like toothpaste than a balloon, actually. You squeeze on it one place, and it comes out somewhere else. We know that's happened. We've seen it over the years. But as I say, our solution is to continually forcing the students further away so that eventually they will realize that parking in the school lots is the way to go, and there is empty space in those lots. If someone has a better solution, some citizen has a better solution, please come forward and help us, or else help us in our current attitude to this problem, which is try to convince the school board that they can also help solve this problem by changing their fee structure and making the fee on the Burgess lot lower or maybe even zero. I don't know, but that's where I stand, and I believe Alderman Hill thinks similarly to what I do. I will leave it to him to explain if he has a slightly different vision, but that's my vision after 20 years on the council of this same problem not going away. Sorry, Mr. Scatterday. We've worked hard on it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Decoto, Pollack, and Hill.
Well, are you still in favor of this item on the agenda?
Yes.
All right. Should you, which you're the expert in this, you've been working on it for, 15 years or whatever? And you're more, you've been involved with this all along. You haven't solved a problem, I might add. But
correct.
Should we...
I stand accused.
Should we do 6th Street, 5th Street, 4th Street, whatever, and take a quantum jump and say, all right, disperse the student parking, either there's enough on the street, which, or else go even further and say, and limit the amount of parking so they're forced to go into the school parking lot.
If I may reply, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, you may.
We don't for a minute believe this is a perfect solution. And if someone has a better idea, please come forward.
Well,
this is our meager attempt to try to somehow force a solution onto the situation.
Well, can we do more forcing is what I'm suggesting somehow. And I defer to you and the other aldermen to come up with that kind of a proposal, I think, and I'd be glad to support that.
The other solution that's been discussed many times is time limits. On 6th Street, we believe there's an actual safety problem, so that time limits are not the correct solution. The correct solution is to limit the parking to one side only. It is a fairly narrow street, and it is a street which becomes a through street for many responses of both the fire department and the police department, because Burgess Norton to the west blocks off a fairly large area of land, so it becomes a street which could be used in many different emergencies by emergency vehicles. So we think it's important to keep that street clear. Thank you.
Alderman Decoto, the floor is still yours. Anything else?
Somebody else can have it board by board.
Okay. Alderman Pollack, then Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with Alderman Decoto's analysis that, you know, perhaps we need to take a far bigger bite of the little green apple. Instead of piecemealing this, and why not extend this to 4th, 5th, and 6th Streets and be done with this once and for all? And send a message, a friendly message, if you will, to the school board saying, look, we have to work together. So, thank you.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we need to remind ourselves that this proposal on tonight's agenda came from the fire chief. It did not come from either Alderman Brown or myself. And this is a safety issue, and I think we need to make a decision tonight about a safety issue and then later on discuss the issue of parking on other streets. I do believe, however, that the quantum jump needs to be made by the school board, and they need to make a decision that allows the students who need to park to park in the Burgess Field at no cost. Until they do that, we are going to continue to have this pressure on 5th Street, on 4th Street, on Ford, like the car, and other streets both east and west of the high school. And as long as we have more students going to the school, You're going to have more students who need to or want to park, and there's not enough space available for them to park free except at the Burgess Field. And if we need to, I think we need to, I do think we have to start meeting with the school administration and or the school board and start to toughen up our position on their position of charging for parking at Burgess Field. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else from the council? Comments? We do have a motion and a second on the floor. So, Mr. Pollack?
Mayor, thank you. Mr. Saturday spoke tonight regarding...
Ray, is your microphone on? I'm not sure.
I'm sorry about that. Mr. Scatterday came to us tonight to speak to a problem on his street, and I feel we're not fully addressing his concern. If we could have some action by this body tonight, whether it be to staff or committee of the whole, I think that would go a long way. Sam, you're right. We need to have more of a dialogue with the school board, but it has to be in partnership. Whether we can dictate to them what they can or cannot charge is not for us to decide, but simply remind them that, you know, we're in this together. The problem we're facing with the city streets is affecting not only the residents, but the students as well.
May I speak to that, Mr. Mayor?
Sure.
We have reminded school district officials, we have reminded school board members several times.
Many times.
Many, many times. That the costs of the kids parking at the Burgess Field is causing difficulties on the streets of our residents. I appreciate Mr. Scatterday's concern. I've talked to Mr. Scatterday and his wife, I believe it was yesterday, and I can understand their concern, and I believe, however, on this particular motion that is on the floor, it's a safety issue. We need to approve that, and I'll guarantee you that Alderman Brown and I will be talking to Mr. Smith and asking him to study the effects of the resident-only parking program on 5th Street and on perhaps Ford Street, where the kids who are going to be moved off 6th Street are going to start parking as soon as the no parking signs go up. Guarantee it's going to happen unless the school district changes their position. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with Alderman Hill that this tonight's issue was brought up by the fire chief. And when you see the pictures, the fire truck fits, but they can't open the door. So to me, that's a we need to act tonight issue because that is safety. I don't disagree with your issue at all. When we did this with student government and when we did this ourselves, we realized it is such a huge issue. And you guys have done the research, talked to all the people, and there, as you can see, there's no simple answer. Because every time you push students off one place, there's got to be another place to go. It's not just the price of Burgess, it's the conditions. Walking, I don't think it's always, the snow is always plowed. Some kids have to be there at 5:30 or 7, whatever, when it's dark out there. It's more than just one issue that we could talk tonight, which you guys have researched and researched. So I would like to stick to just tonight, working on the one that Chief Olson suggested, and then work with the school district, like you said, in partnership to see what we can do. And take that as the next step, because we can't piecemeal it. If we do it again, we have to do it. The difference is when we were able to handle it, we were able to build a parking garage to help the commuters have a place. And I don't know that we can kick all those students off and not offer them a place to go. So I'd like to just stick to this, too. Thank you.
Anyone else in the council? The next item is how to do cold fusion. So this will be awesome. We have a motion on the floor, and we have a second. The matter, of course, is 11A. There's obviously larger issues at play, which can be considered at a future date. I'm certain that the good offices of Alderman Brown and Hill, that'll certainly happen. Motion by Hill and second by Piper.
There you go.
Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
William Barkley?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes 8-2. Thank you very much. Item 11B, ladies and gentlemen, consider ordinance number 2009-02, amending Title VII, Chapter 4, Section 7 and 8, to allow for, or I should say to exact, no parking and limited parking on 8th and Crawford Streets.
Can we amend it first, or do we make a motion first?
You really need to make a motion first just to get it on the floor. Then
I'm moved.
Second.
Piper motions and Maladra seconds. Could have died for lack of a motion a second, too. Oh, an ugly death it would have been.
Ah, yes.
So, Mr. Piper, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Just like to make an amendment to the motion, eliminating the time constraints from the ordinance. If we can remove that, then I believe that it is what we talked about at the committee level. I think we can get this moved forward and get it out of the way since this has been discussed.
Second the motion.
Ad nauseum.
Second the amendment.
Amendment offered by Mr. Piper, seconded by Mr. Brown. That is to eliminate the time constraints as currently written in the ordinance before us. Questions to the amendment? Seeing none, anyone in the audience? Mr. Barkley?
2012.
Sorry, as this is written, if somebody wants to park there on Saturday or Sunday, there are currently no time restrictions at all. It's just regular parking all day Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
Anyone else questions regarding the amendment?
That's just no three parking spaces.
Correct.
Correct. So no time. The time restrictions have been eliminated based on the amendment offered by Mr. Piper, seconded by Mr. Brown.
Totally.
Completely. Mr. Dakota.
Yes, Alderman Maladra. Do you think the residents in the area are in agreement with that posture?
No, I don't. I think that we...
That's why I believe that this should be deferred, really. And have those people in here?
No.
And have all the interested parties, stakeholders, participate in this discussion. I really thought this thing had been resolved weeks and months ago.
Exactly.
And it hasn't been. This is an argument that's been going on for so long over nothing.
So, to answer you... It had been discussed a long time ago. The residents did speak their minds at that time. The committee voted, and the outcome of that committee vote was different than what this ordinance says. The amendment proposed by Alderman Piper takes us right back to the agreement that was reached at that point after the residents had their say. To open it up further would just lead us right back to where we're at, which is why I decided to withdraw the motion to table it.
Thank you.
Open for the amendment.
Somebody had their hand up. Was it Barkley before Piper? Barkley for a second time?
Go ahead.
You guys are like dueling cowboys. You have the white shirt and the black shirt. So
exactly.
We'll go with Big Bart first.
Now we know who the good guys are.
I don't believe this should go back. I don't believe that we should, to Mr. Devine's point, he looked it up on the internet. He's an interested party. He was here. The same opportunity that everybody else has. It's been discussed. It's been discussed too much. We can move on. We've got it right in front of us tonight. Let's just finish it up. It's exactly, I think saying that it hasn't been agreed upon is different. I think that we made a decision that not everybody's happy with. We're not planning a wedding. We're not trying to make everybody happy. We're trying to make decisions and move on. So I think that that's what we did that night, and that's what we need to do tonight.
I think it's just such a small little
cul-de-sac. Mr. Barkley?
Just looking at the minutes from that meeting, Alderman Piper and Flanagan voiced their opinion to allow unlimited parking at the three spaces Mr. Smith had indicated, and then further on down the line, Brown supported having three spaces available at the north end of 8th for an unlimited time structure. I think the spirit of what we discussed was to have it unlimited, and I'll support the motion. Thank you.
The amendment on the floor?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? just for clarification, the amendment is to eliminate the time restrictions offered by... Good God, who was it offered by?
Piper.
Are they still on the council?
Offered by Piper,
seconded by Brown. Alderman Dakota to the amendment?
I will vote against it, not because I'm basically against the issue, because I think we'll hear from the constituents that live in the area, because after the event, they'll come back and say they weren't notified. And so that's my only posture. I wanted people to have another bite at the apple, really. All parties have a bite. Good apple. It's good for everyone's health. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is on the amendment. Anyone in the audience?
Eat your apple.
On the amendment, a simple majority carries the day. The amendment is to support the elimination of time restrictions. So an affirmative vote supports that amendment, a negative vote does not. Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
William Barkley?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
According to my tally, the motion of the amendment passes 7-3. So we have an amended motion on the floor. Any discussion regarding the newly amended motion that's on the floor? Seeing none, hearing none. Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
William Barkley?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Paul Dakota?
Nay. Surprise, surprise.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
The amended motion passes 7-3. Yes, Mr. Devine.
I'd like to thank the City Council for taking action tonight. Win or lose, but I happen to win this time.
Thank you for participating, as always. Thank you. Mrs. Devine?
I just have a question. Are we going to have to go through this again and again, or is this like the end, or...
Oh, God, this will come back 30, 40 times.
That's what I was thinking.
No. This is virtually the end.
Depends where else your husband wants to park.
Yeah.
If you're just like the student.
Ball's kind of in your court here.
I'm thinking about parking by the high school. I do have some thoughts about what can be done over there.
Talk to Alderman Brown.
Let's get him checked.
I do have some positive comments about what I think could happen over there.
Good.
Mr. Devine, if I may, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking that I was going to volunteer in a moment of weakness, to go pick you up in the morning, take you to the train, pick you up at night, take you home. But I decided against that, really. But I thought about it. I was
probably a smart move because I don't always go home on the same train. And that's why I had a problem with the 10 o'clock. Because sometimes...
Well, you're probably going to have to walk home then.
Exactly.
Okay, that's all right. But I'm willing to do that.
Now, Mrs. Devine, to answer your question, theoretically, those voting in the majority, those seven members who voted in favor of the amendment, do have the opportunity, should they see fit, to offer a motion to reconsider. That's a possibility, but that motion has to take place prior to the next regularly scheduled City Council meeting. So when January 19th comes around, and we debate for 17 hours parking issues, and nobody offers that motion to reconsider, it's DOA. It's over.
You can always amend the hours.
Yeah. Well, you can always amend the hours in the future, but that'll most likely fall on a different council. So, yeah. So, in other words...
So, basically, you're encouraging us to run to be on the city
council. No, I'm actually encouraging Mrs. Devine to hang out with somebody else.
You know, after 35 years, I don't think that's going to happen. So.
Keep your eyes peeled on us. That's all I'm saying. So, you never know. So.
You know a good divorce lawyer? I mean, you know.
Okay, folks. We're on the new business. Any new business from the audience tonight? Anything at all?
Mr. Mayor?
Who's awake out there? Anybody?
Mr. Mayor.
Anything from the comic of the Daily Herald? Anything from you, Sue?
I thought he was talking about
No? From the council, Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Would you allow me to read the press release regarding the Third Street closure at Union Pacific Railway Crossing?
Yes, you may. If you could, just with a slight French accent and kind of a sexy voice, it'd be nice.
Beginning Saturday, January 10th at 6 a.m. and continuing until Sunday, January 11th, 2009, 3rd Street in downtown Geneva will be closed to vehicle traffic at the Union Pacific Railway crossing for maintenance work on the railway tracks. Work is anticipated to take no longer than 2 days. During the closure, traffic will be detoured along State Street, which of course is Route 38, and First Street, which is Route 31. Pedestrian access at the railway crossing will be maintained during the road closure. If you have any questions regarding the work, you can direct them to the Union Pacific Railroad at 630-562-7185. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Slight amendment. All traffic delayed or detoured will be parking on 6th Street. It's the Oops. Unbelievable.
What about this?
Just kidding.
I have a...
Mr. Hill.
This room in Burgess.
A former city council member is in the hospital, has been there for several days, several weeks. Warren Gilligan, and he does have a serious illness. I would just like to have everybody give him our thoughts and prayers at whatever time you so desire. Whether you want to do that now, Mr. Mayor, or whether you want to just we do that on our own, is fine.
Yeah, regrettably, Mr. Gilligan watches these meetings.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought about saying hello to him, but I didn't want to throw him into shock. So I know Bud certainly enjoys visitors, and as does his wife, Mary. Most of us know the Gilligans quite well. So I think if you have a moment to give Bud a call, I think he'd love to hear from you. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? I have one brief announcement, and this is very exciting. We're all well aware of the public plaza that was so designated on the south end of 3rd Street and Crescent, right next to the Chaudine Building number 8. We are having a Name That Plaza contest.
What we do?
Isn't that exciting? This is open to all citizens of Geneva, regardless of age or where they park in the morning. Anybody can participate. We're asking folks to hop online, download the form, submit your suggestion to name the plaza. Whosever suggestion is chosen will be invited to participate in the ceremonial ribbon cutting of that plaza. The plaza cannot be named after any member of the city council currently in office. That was a joke. But we will take all acceptances, all suggestions, and there's a very private committee who's going to decide that. Just primarily Bob Smith, so it'll be...
and Mr. Devine.
Yes,
sir.
And
Kenny.
Cage match.
So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Deadline is February 27th, 2009, to submit your recommendations. Okay? So particularly the kids in the community, I want to see some clever suggestions. So anyone else? New business? If not, I'll turn to the august Alderman Dakota.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Hey. Motion by Dakota, second by, we'll give it to Mr. Singer. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night.